not.
And I found this interesting that before he talks, you know, chapter 13 talks about the love, it's known as the love chapter. Love, you know, he goes into all things. You've heard it. I've said it at pretty much all the weddings I've done. Quote 1 Corinthians 13 about love. But you know, before you can have love, you've got to have unity. For a couple to have love, they've got to come into agreement.
Yes.
You got to like one another and agree with one another. And I say you got to agree on everything, but you got to come into unity. And that's one thing with the church is for we're going to have love, but we love one another, we've got to have unity.
Yes.
But I'm not talking about that per se as was something else this morning, but I want us to look at this. One scripture says, for by one spirit we were all baptized into one body. Whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one spirit. We've all been made to drink into one spirit. And I had this thought this morning, and then I believe, and I'll kind of explain as we go through, but I believe we today, in this age, in this time, we need an awakening of the spirit.
Amen.
And I'm going to be preaching over the next several weeks on this topic, this theme of being awakened by the Spirit. Pray with me. Father, I just ask you this morning that, Father, as we come into this part of the service, Father God, to honor you through the Word, I pray, God, that the anointing of the Holy Spirit would just be with me in spite of me. God, that you would just fill my lips, my thoughts. And Lord, everything that I've prepared, God, you take precedent over everything. And Lord, I submit to you and I pray for the anointing and the unction to lead, not only me to speak, but to lead us into the service, Lord God, in this part, that we would hear from you, and that, Lord, you would speak into all of our spirits. Father, we need an awakening for this time and perceive the days in which we live in. And I pray, let your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. As I said, we need an awakening. We need to have a time where we understand. It's not just about having a Holy Ghost service. I mean, we all love to have a Holy Ghost time. We all love to have the Lord move and touch and pour out and have a good old, you know, shout and service. That's great. But if the shout is only confined here, or the effects of the Holy Spirit is only confined here, what good is it? A lot of times we will shout here, but we won't say a word out there. And I believe God is wanting to wake up the church. Because let's face it, you turn on the TV, you get on the internet, social media, and you hear a lot of things out there, a lot of things being said. But where is the church in this time? Where's the Holy Spirit moving in the church? Has God changed? Has the Holy Spirit lost his power? I say no, he hasn't. What's changed is us. I'm reminded of a story. Man of God, by many and people know, whose name was D.L. Moody, a great evangelist of his time, and he refused to operate without the power of the Holy Spirit, but before he became the great speaker, the great evangelist, early in his ministry, he pushed forward in his work. And he operated mostly in his own strength, in his own abilities. But he felt he had no real power. I love this story. But he didn't know how to resolve this problem. He realized that he was doing everything in his own power, in his own might. And closed one of his meetings at a YMCA, two humble Free Methodist ladies came up to him and said, "We're praying for you." And their comment really struck him funny. Finally, they always, every service, or at the end, they said, "We're praying for you." And finally, one night after a service, he approached him and says, "Why are you praying for me? Why aren't you praying for the lost? You should be praying for the unsaved." And the ladies responded, "We're praying for you that you get more power." He asked what they meant, and they began to explain to him and talk to him about the definite baptism of the Holy Spirit. Then he prayed with the women and that God would begin to fill his life. And he found his way to a friend's house, and there for several hours in a room, he just experienced the filling of the Spirit upon his life and began to transform him and do a marvelous work in his life. And he began to understand what the two ladies were talking about. And he saw that the power would do wondrous works. And not too long after that, because he found his way going to the city of London and began to see a great revival pour out from the work of the Holy Spirit. And others, great men of God that we see, Charles Spurgeon, Billy Sunday, Charles Finney, and others, they also experienced and understood that doing the ministry wasn't good enough in their own attempt. They needed the power of the Holy Spirit. And if we're going to do anything in this time, in an era where we need the outpouring of the Spirit, we've got to realize it's not by our own attempt or by own abilities, but by the Spirit it happens.
Amen.
We need the Spirit.
Amen.
We need an outpouring. We need a transformation. And he talks about it, Paul talks about it in this passage, about this one baptism. And people will take this one baptism and they collapse it into an understanding. One baptism. See, there's just one baptism. And some say, well, and of course you have others that believe that it was just for a time years ago. But I want to throw this question out to you. How hungry are we all for that all? How hungry are we for all that God has for us? How hungry are we really for God? How hungry are we to lay it all on the line to see God move in a tremendous way in our own life, in our own communities, in our own families? Church, we've been preparing for our centennial celebration, and I've been doing a lot of history, research, and Liz and Jody and others have been helping. But one of the things that really sticks out to me, and I just got to share this because to me this is a great testament of some things that it needs to remind us. In 1921, when this church started up the hill, the records say they had to move from that building. It was a building, a 40 by 60 building, on brick pillars. And they were concerned because the church was so full and grew so much, they were concerned about the building holding up. So they moved here. And I thought about that. I thought, to me, that's a great concern. The church was so full. And it wasn't that it was just full of people. It was because the archives to share this. They were having Holy Ghost-filled services. God was moving. And they realized we need, number one, this building can't hold up to the Holy Ghost. Now think about that for a moment. Can the building hold up to what the church is going to give it? We come in and we sing our songs and we clap our hands and we hear our blessings and we'll shout now and then, but really, where is the power of God that we heard about and we've read about and some of us have experienced years ago? My Bible says that he is saved yesterday, today, and forever. He changes not.
Right.
And the only thing, God's power hasn't changed. God's ability hasn't changed. God's outpouring hasn't changed. The only thing that's changed is us. And it's a shame that the moat we have But you see, when you just mentioned the baptism of the Holy Spirit, people get nervous. And the traditional view of people believe, as 1 Corinthians, you know, for by one Spirit we were all baptized. And people think, well, that was a baptism, that was for back then. Paul was talking about we don't need that today. People will go to Ephesians chapter 4, and they will see in Ephesians 4 the argument made for one baptism in the believer's life. And they would say, well, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. And we say, see, it's just one baptism, and they refer to that mostly as the, some will say, the water baptism. But if we go to Acts chapter 19, we see Paul discovered another group. And they had taken part in John's baptism, but were not fully informed about Jesus. And he declared truth to them and preached to them the gospel. And the Bible tells us that they were baptized in the name of Jesus. But then also we go back to Ephesians and we see and understand that in the book of Ephesus, or the church of Ephesus, some of the people were teaching not just one water baptism. They said you needed two or multiple water baptisms. And Paul was trying to right some wrongs of some doctrinal errors, if you will. And he taught that only one baptism was needed. And that should be taking place after conversion. But also he began to help clarify some things about baptism. Hebrews 6 tells us, in Hebrews 6 chapter 2, he declares that there is a doctrine of baptisms. And you look at that word, it's plural. Wait a minute. Baptisms. Notice, it's plural. Some declare there are actually three baptisms. Hold on to your hats. In 1 Corinthians 12:13, he says in the text, for by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body. And one writer, and I'm going to borrow somebody's information here, and he calls it a positional baptism. Positional, think about this, which takes place at the time the Holy Spirit places the person or comes into that person. We call it salvation. But think about this. When we are saved, is it just Jesus that comes and lives within me? Because Jesus said that I and my Father are one. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And we can go into down and we can take that step further because the Bible tells us that the Father, the Son, the Spirit are all one. We call that the Trinity. So if I receive Jesus in salvation as my Lord and Savior, don't I receive the Father and the Spirit as well? So isn't that salvation a type of baptism that I come to know Jesus as Lord, but the Spirit also it comes into my life and lives within me? That would be a positional thing that we see. But then we move on and something else we're more familiar with. There is what one person calls a pictorial baptism, where water baptism as an event, you know, we understand water baptism. The death, burial, and resurrection, that we die to sin, and we're going, you know, we're going through that practice, and we believe in water baptism. Water cannot save you, but water baptism is an outward sign. We're painting a picture, or we're giving somebody, you know, what's a picture? Something you can see. We're giving somebody something you can see, that I am dying to sin, and I'm making a public confession that Jesus Christ is my Lord, and that he has taken my sins away. And in that baptism, we see a transformation take place as well. That we die to our sins, and we arise a new creature in Christ. And I've seen some baptism, yeah, people just go in and get wet. But then I've seen other baptism, people come out of the water shouting, and they're so excited because they know that Jesus has done something extraordinary in their life. And they're excited that their sins have been washed away. And they're excited that their name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I don't know about you, but when was the last time we got excited about Christ saving our soul? Amen. And this is something we got to look at and understand about what Christ will do for us. And the baptism, this pictorial baptism. But then there's the third baptism. And that's the one we call the Spirit baptism. And in this, this is one we need to talk about a lot more. Because in this we see that not only is the Father and the Son involved, but this is where the Spirit is involved as well. We see in Luke chapter 3, verse 16, he said, I indeed baptize you. Jesus is talking. I indeed baptize with water, John. But one is mightier than I, coming, whose sandals strap I am not worthy to loose. He will baptize you in with the Holy Spirit and fire. John was telling his disciples this. Simply stated, the baptism of the Holy Spirit and fire is something that talks about power, a coming power and anointing upon that individual's life that he may carry out God's work. Let me refer back to D.L. Moody. He did everything in his own attempt because he was operating without the power of God. And many of us try to do things in the name of God and get nowhere or get no success because we do it in ourselves. But if we understand to connect with the power of the Holy Spirit, we can come in and do mighty things for God more than we would ever think or ever imagine, because it's the Holy Spirit that's doing the work. We're just a vessel. You see, a child of God who operates within the power of the Spirit don't understand the words, I can't do it.
Hello.
Oh, we got good. I got a few, but then quiet. I can't do it. No, you can't. But this Bible tells me I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Amen.
I can't do it. I can't come up and do this every Sunday. It's, oh, you're such a good preacher. You do so good. Yeah. One, I've been doing it a long time, but two, I understand that I don't come up here by myself. These preachers in here that have been doing this a lot longer than I have understand that as well. We don't come up here by ourselves. I know what some of you think. Have you ever been up there without them? Yeah, there's times I've come to a pulpit with nothing. And the Lord took over. I prayed and prayed all week for something, for a word of God. Nothing. No, nothing. Okay, Lord, this is on you now. You see, we try to put too much, we put too much pressure on ourselves. Thinking, I've got to do this. I've got to perform. I got to measure up. No, you don't. You just got to be available. You just got to be available to God. You just got to say, Lord, here am I. Send me. Here am I. Use me. That's all he's looking for, is someone to say, here am I. And it's not that he's going to call you to preach. Listen, all of us can do something for God, right? All of us are called to do something for God. All of us have been called to the kingdom to do something for his kingdom. Most of us realize, you know, think, well, what can I do? Well, most of us can talk, right? Well, that's a big thing. A lot of us need to talk. A lot of us need to talk about Jesus. Listen, all of us have abilities that other people can't do. Some of you can cook for good. Some of you can't cook. Some of us, listen, we got to realize what God has given us, the abilities he's given you, he wants you to use it.
Amen.
For his kingdom.
Yep.
But when you couple that with the Holy Spirit, think about what happens. I got to share this story. I wasn't planning on doing it, but I got to share this story. We had a church in St. Louis, Missouri. Two guys, the church was growing, and you know, they were trying to get people involved and doing different things. And some guys, you know, they come to the pastor and say, "Pastor, we can't teach, we don't sing, we don't, you know, well, what can you do?" And they said, "Well, we can fix cars." Okay. That we can, you know, we love helping people fix cars and stuff, so here's what they did. In St. Louis, Missouri, there's a loop called 270 that goes around the city. These guys would get out Friday and Saturday night, some of the busiest times in St. Louis, and drive around on 270 and other major highway arteries there in St. Louis, looking for stranded motorists. They needed gas. They had care of gas and help them out. You know, something just minor, they helped them. And while one of the guys was fixing the car, the other guy was there talking to them about Jesus. They'd come up and say, "Hey, we're here to help you. We're with Twin Rivers Worship Center. We're here to help you." One episode, and this has stood out, I've heard this told years ago, and it has always stuck in my mind. One, I think it was a Saturday night, they seen a car on the side of the highway, pull up behind it, knock on the window, the lady rolls down the window. They said, "Hey, we're so-and-so from Twin Rivers Worship Center. We're here to fix your car, but we're also here to fix your life and help you." And the gal told them a story of her, of a family situation in Colorado, where they basically kicked her out of the house and ostracized her and basically considered her dead. She got in her car with everything she had and drove. So she ran out of money and she ran out of gas. And her plans were, she was so distraught, was when she ran out of gas, she ran out of money, she ran out of food, her plans were, "I'm just going to lay here and die." But when these gentlemen showed up on her door or at her car to help her, they began to talk to her, pray with her. They called up some other people in the church that had put her up for the night. She had sold everything and she was out. She had nothing. She was dirty. And they put her up, got her all cleaned up, fed her, clothed her. She came to church the next morning. Sunday morning service. And in that service, she gave her life to Christ. And to this day, as of service a couple years ago, she was still at that church serving God and working for the kingdom. Because two guys thought all they can do was fix cars. Church, we cannot underestimate what God will do with a willing vessel. And I believe what we're seeing today around us is God is looking for people to wake up and see that there is opportunity to minister and there's opportunity to reach people that no one else will reach, that no one else can talk to but you. And we've got to realize that these days are getting short. Jesus is coming soon, and the church has got to be aware and awakened to this fact. But it's not going to come in our own might. It's going to come in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why we need to pray for the outpouring of the Spirit in our own lives, so that there will be an outpouring in our church and there will be an outpouring in our community. I don't know about you, but I don't believe God's done with this church. I don't believe God's done with this community. I don't believe that 100 years and then we're done. I believe God is wanting this church. We're just getting started. The baptism of the Spirit and fire is the coming of the power of the anointing upon an individual's life that they may carry out their part of God's work. God's wanting us to do our part. God's wanting us to do. But listen, if you're going into battle, Brother Travis has been in battle, he's been in service, and if he went into battle but he didn't take no weapon, what's his chance of survival? Big old goose egg. Then why we, the church, think we can go into battle without a weapon? Oh, I got my Bible, Pastor. it'd be like the soldier saying, I got my gun. But is there any bullets in it? Hello? Do you know how to use it? A lot of people don't even know how to use this. And I'm telling you, church, we're facing devils that we never thought we'd ever face before. We're facing things we never thought would be around. There are demons being unleashed in these last days, and I'm not trying to get all kooky on you, but I'm telling you this. There are the demonic spirits being unleashed in these last days that we never dealt with before. And we cannot go into this world and try to reach people for Jesus without our guns loaded and ourselves prepared. We not only got to get our guns loaded, we got to get ourselves and our mentality prepared to realize we're going to be dealing with some enemies and we're going to be dealing with some forces we never dealt with. So don't you try to go into battle by yourself. There's a lot of things and craziness going on. That's why God is saying, I'm wanting my church to seek the Holy Spirit. I'm wanting my people to call out to me and let the Holy Spirit come upon them. Many of us have been baptized in the Spirit, but we haven't operated in the Spirit in some time, or some years, should I say. But it's time for the Spirit. I'm praying for a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon all people, upon all flesh, not just our sons and daughters, but our grandmas and our grandmas, our moms and our dads, so we all have an outpouring to face these last days. We're not going to make it without him. People will try to use logic. They'll try to use reason. They'll try to use education, academics. But nothing can take the place of good old-fashioned Pentecostal Holy Ghost people. I don't think anyone, look at Jesus, I don't think anybody would deny that Jesus had the Holy Spirit within him. I don't think any of us will say, well, Jesus didn't operate with the Holy Spirit. We even seen John, when John baptized, they see it's recorded that the Spirit descended upon him like a dove. So I think it's safe to say that he operated in the Spirit. He moved in the Spirit. And I believe you and I need to operate in the Spirit. I can stand here for hours on end. I know you don't want that. But I believe we can stand here and talk about the Spirit, what the Spirit can and will do. But here's the number one thing. And I believe two things. I'll say two things. One is the power. But two, and I believe this is as important, and that is discernment. Amen. I've heard people all my life say, yeah, I've got the spirit, the gift of discernment. I've got the gift of discernment. And then we'll go out and do some stupid stuff. And then I say, where's the spirit of discernment? But here's the thing. I said a moment ago, we're facing things we never faced before. Church, we think, and hear me carefully, we think we have the devil all figured out. Hear me. We think we have them all figured out. We think we know all there is to know about the enemy. Are you hearing me? We think we can discern when the devil's tricking us or not. And when you think you've got it all figured out, you're wrong. I'm not trying to be arrogant. I'm not trying to be cute. I'm not trying to be flashy here. because I believe we're dealing with some important stuff in this day and age we live in. This is not about COVID. This is not about Washington. This is not about the economy. This is not about any of this. This comes down to heaven or hell. Pure and simple. And things that's going on in our world today may look right, may look good, but it is far from the truth. Hear me. Hear me, church. I'm as serious as I've ever been. There are things that God is showing people and things that are slowly being revealed. When we have, and I'm gonna get a little political for a minute, but just bear with me. When we have a government that will do things in nighttime and in the secret, that's when we need to be aware. Anytime, and I was told this, if you gotta hide something, then you're doing something wrong. And I'm not just pointing the finger at the government, I'm talking pointing the finger at a lot of people. Some even go to churches. And we just go along, well, it's okay. Well, we can't judge. Well, we can't do this. Well, we just got to pray for them. Yes, we have to pray for them, but we got to pray for discernment. Because here's the thing, Satan has told the church that you can't say nothing because you'll be passing judgment. Hear me. The Bible gives us a clear understanding of when we're judging and when we're calling out sin. There's a difference. Sin is sin. There's no gray area with sin. You know, we got our own preferences, what we think maybe, well, if you do this, then that's a sin. But that's our interpretation. But the Bible's very clear on what's sin and what's not. You can go to a list, the works of the flesh, go to it and see. I remember years ago, people get all bent out of shape because, you know, if there's mixed bathing. Everybody remember that one? Well, if we're mixed bathing, that's sinful. We couldn't do that. But yet we can go gossip and that's okay. Hello? Years ago, you couldn't wear makeup, ladies. But you sure could get on that hotline and that party line, rather. And read and tell others about so and so. Oh, we're not gossiping, we're sharing. No, you're not, you're gossiping. And yeah, we blame the ladies, but come on, guys, we know y'all do it, we all do it too. We're just as guilty. We may not do it on the party line, but we'll go do it at the golf course or the hardware store or come on. Well, hello there. Well, get another project. Listen, church, the days are getting evil. But we've got to be mindful of what's going on. And if ever there's a time for us to pray for discernment, it's now. If ever there's a time for us to look at things and scrutinize, that's why the Bible tells us about test the spirits. Test them. Whether they be of God or not. I mean, come on, let's look at some of our, let's look at some of these TV evangelists or preachers. Hello? We used to think, oh, they're so high and mighty, they're so good, they're so anointed, and we bought their books and bought their tapes and then we found out they're not what we thought they were. Come on now. Of course, we all know about Brother Olsteen. There in Houston. You look cute and you have a good presentation and you tell a funny joke. It's okay. Bringing heathens on stage to lead the people of God is not of God. I'm sorry, Beyonce and on the stage, was it a Beyonce he brought? Mariah Carey, sorry Beyonce, well just as bad. He brought Mariah Carey up on stage Easter Sunday. Come on now. I rebuke that. get this back. We'll wrap this up. Church, we need the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You see, the devil's trying to distract us.
Amen.
Oh, we got to worry about that.
No.
You see what's going around us? He's trying to distract us. He's trying to get our eyes off of what's real and what's important. I can care less about a leaf, but I'm more concerned about souls. That can be fixed later. But there's some souls that won't be fixed unless it's dealt with now. We've got to pray for God to move. Go to the next slide, Jody. I've got to wrap this up. He talks about power. You all know about this. Dunamis power, that's the power of the Holy Spirit. We need dunamis power. That dunamis power is explosive. That's where we get the word dynamite from. Explosive, supernatural. Look at this. Supernatural. But the last part I think is the most important. Transforming power. We can say we got the Holy Spirit, we got the baptism. But if it don't do nothing in us and change us and transform us, it ain't doing no good. Hello? We've got to have transforming. There's got to be a change. There's got, listen, you're going to walk different. You're going to talk different. You're going to act different. No, you're not going to be weird. Oh, I'm going to be some kooky, fanatical Christian. No, you just ain't going to put up with nonsense. You're not going to put up with pettiness. You're not going to cave in to gossip. And you're not going to cave in to somebody's little, you know, nitpick stuff. You're going to keep the main thing, and that is what Christ came to do. He came to seek and to save that which was lost, and that's our commission, to seek and to save that which was lost, and to break the chains of the bondage, to break the chains of those that are being held captive, to set them free. God has called the church forward to awaken for this time and these last days to set these people free. I want to wrap this up with this point. Go to the next. I want to ask this question. Go to the next one. In these last days, wait a minute, did I miss one? There it is. Is your life so full of power that those chained by the devil can be set free and saved through your influence? Ask yourself that question. Is your life so full of the power? Is your life full of the Holy Spirit? Think about this. Remember the song? We've got the power in the name of Jesus. You remember that song?
Amen.
We've got the power. But we can sing about it. But is it doing anybody any good? Hello? And if some of you don't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, why not? Why are you trying to serve God, fight off your devils in your own attempt? Why? Why are we trying to do this by ourselves? Church, when God gets in the mix, the Father, the Son, the Spirit gets in the mix in our lives, little becomes much in His hands. Little becomes much. We just put forth one step and effort, and then we see God take over. We take just one effort. We just make the effort. God will do a mighty things through us. He's looking for available people that's willing to stand up in these last days and say, here am I, Lord, send me. But I want to come back to this question. Because I want us, we all need to really sit tight for, or sit still for just a second and ask ourselves this question. Is my life full of power? That's really going to make a difference in people's life. Is your life full of power? You can lay hands on them and see God do miraculous things. Church, it ain't just going to come from one person. It's not just going to come from the pastor. It shouldn't come from just one person. That's not biblical. He called us all into ministry. I just get to be the drum major of this band. But think about it. One instrument don't make the band. Many instruments make one sound. Many people make one voice. Many people can accomplish much. That's the church. That's what God is calling from the church. But we all got to be marching the same direction to be effective. But come back to this. Is your power? Are you full of the power to make a difference? Is it transforming your life? And is it transforming other lives? That's the question right there. Because if it's not, then we need to do something about it. We need to make a difference. People are dying and going to hell right outside these doors. What are we doing? We got friends and family, don't you, that aren't saved? Anybody got unsaved friends and family? What are we doing? What are we doing? We don't have time to play. We don't have much longer. The Lord can come back before we even get out of this service. He can come back before this day even finishes. Oh, I know. I've heard it all my life too. But the Spirit is putting an urgency into my spirit that these are the last days. I see the signs of the times. I see things going on around us. And it's time for the church to awaken and step into its rightful place and be the church. Will you be a part of that or not? Father, I just ask you, as the musicians come, Father, I just ask you right now, that, Lord, as I have delivered what you have placed upon my heart, and, Lord, while I pray that the Spirit is moving right now, even as I speak, to begin to stir hearts and lives here this morning, God, for us to understand that we don't have long. Let that fact, Lord, more than ever, be a confirmation. We don't have long. We don't have time to play games. We must be about your business. We must be about souls. We must be about ministry. And Lord, I pray, Father, Lord, today, those here, Lord, those here that have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that has experienced that distinctive baptism. Lord, I pray for refilling and refreshing today into their hearts and their lives. But Lord, if there's those here this morning that say, Pastor, I've never received the baptism, Holy Spirit, I pray right now, you just begin, even now, begin to fill them. As they begin to seek you right now and ask you, Lord, give me this gift. Give me this power. Give me, Lord God, what I need to fulfill my calling in you. I want my little, my attempts, and my abilities to do mighty things in your hands. Lord, here am I. I surrender to you. Lord, Lord, I pray your will be done in this time. Lord, as we prepare for the altar, we prepare to present and respond to your word. Lord, I ask you that you help us confirm your word and let your will be done. Holy Spirit, have your way. Oh, Spirit of the living God, just begin to move in this place. If you're here this morning and you need a refilling, a refreshing today, I want you to come. You can kneel, you can stand, whatever, just come. But if you're here this morning and say, Pastor, I've never received this gift, but I want this gift, I want you to come as well. If you're hungry for God, if you're hungry for this gift, I want you to come right here. Come on. I'm not going to wait. I don't play games here. You know me. I've been here long enough. I don't play games. You either know or you don't know. You either want him or you don't. But if you've never experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I believe God is here to minister to you and pour out his Spirit and fill you today. We've got to put forth the effort. Oh, sweet Spirit of the living God, just have your way. Would you come? You want a refilling, refreshing? Come. Oh, Lord, I pray for a fresh outpouring, fresh anointing, a fresh start today. Holy Spirit, move. Stand right now and worship him. These altars are open.
My daily bread.
I think we all need a fresh touch.
This is my daily bread.
Yes,
Lord, we want a fresh pouring out. And I'm desperate for. Of this.